Hello, and welcome to ASMR Tirar de Huevo. Are you hoping to calm your mind, relax your body, or experience ASMR? Dr. Andrew Michaels is here to help you. We appreciate the support of all of our followers. If you would like to support this podcast directly, please look for our PayPal link in the episode description.
Good morning, everyone. So good to see all of you today. Come on in. I have a special request, and I feel I owe it to this audience member to at least help with this problem. And I hope this is going to be a little fun. Would have been more fun around Valentine's Day, but I think the end of April and beginning of May, you know, it's not a bad time to do this. But today, I'm going to talk about how to pick up chicks. I have some young men in my audience who would like guidance on how to pick up girls. And we're going to do it the right way. And what I mean by that is we're going to be polite gentlemen, and we're going to accomplish this task by treating the ladies correctly. Now, the first thing you have to remember about dating or getting to know girls is just what I said. If you want to date a girl or get to know them, you must first actually talk to one of them. You have to find a girl that you find relatively sweet and kind and interesting, and you must actually talk to them. You have to be polite, be a gentleman, introduce yourself, say hello, hello, and don't tell them, like, as soon as they say, hi, how are you, don't say, the first thing you should not say is, I want you to have my baby and marry me. That would not go over well. That's not the way you do it. The correct response would be, oh, I am fine. Hey, I'm doing great. So, might sound simple to some people out there, but I've been told that some of these simple things, the easy part of dating, is missed by a lot of men out there. A lot of young men are missing these simple little social cues and social norms that can help you prevent a lawsuit or, you know, a arrest later in life. Okay, so let's focus on that. So, first part, find a girl. That's the first part. Second part, walk up to the nice young lady and say, hi, my name is X, your name, not my name. And you say, I was just saw you as I was walking by, and I thought, wow, you seem nice. I was wondering if we could talk and maybe go hang out sometime. There you go. Simple. I'm not asking you out on a date. I'm not asking you to do anything. I'm just saying, hey, maybe we could go out sometime and talk and, you know, hang out sometime. And immediately she will say something probably around the lines of, oh, hi, I'm such and such, and nice to meet you, and are you asking me out on a date? And your reply there should be, no, I'm not asking you out on a date. It's just I'm new here, I don't know a lot of people, and you seem like really a nice person to talk to, and I thought, you know, maybe you could plug me into the social network around campus. See? You're not asking her out on a date. You're telling her how kind of cool she looks and cool she is. And you're hoping she can let some of that coolness rub off on you and help you plug into the social network on campus. You're basically telling her, you look like one of the cool kids on campus, and I just want to see if I can get some of that glitter, that golden glitter, that shiny, bright silver glitter to kind of drift over here to me, so I might also be kind of cool and popular. Now, if she's not totally repulsed, or she smiles, or she feigns that she's flattered, that's a cue. That's her telling you, oh my gosh, this guy's hitting on me. It's so cool. When a girl looks away or appears to be nervous, and that's a flight or fight response. Men are the aggressor. They're the hunter. They're out there, you know, trying to seduce the ladies. The girl's job is to not get attacked or, And so she is going to respond with a chuckle or a laugh, and don't be put off by that. And if she doesn't respond right away or shakes her head or just ignores you completely, it might be because you come on too strong. And that's something we need to talk about right away. Don't come on too strong. Don't come up to a girl and go like, hey, like authoritative, or hey, you, like that. You know, you want to come up and go like, hey, what's happening? You know, like, what's happening, baby? You know, hey, all right. You know, cool. You know, Fonzie. If you don't know who Fonzie is, look up the show Happy Days. And it does not hurt to use a little, I'd say 2% Fonzie in your approach to women. Women like a smooth, calm male. They don't like guys that are wound up or nervous. A good example is somebody I know very close to me. I don't want to say who she is. Was on college campus, and a young man walked up to her and was like, hey, can I, you dating anybody? Are you seeing anyone? Can we like exchange phone numbers? Like, can I get to know you right now? Like, can I have your family history and a DNA swab of the inside of your cheek, maybe a fingerprint and some blood work? That's a real good way to turn a girl off almost immediately. You want to walk up and go like, I'm interested, but I'm not interested. You see how I'm doing that? Like, hey, how's it going? Yeah, hey, I'm Chet. So today I'm Chet. I'm Chet, from Tennessee. Memphis area. Grand Ole Opry, all that stuff. Yeah, my mother was friends with Mary Ford. Yeah. You probably don't even know who Mary Ford is, but it's definitely a conversation starter. Well, Mary. Yeah, well, she happened to be the wife of Les Paul, the guy who made the electric guitar, you know, they kind of know the guy. So, you know, my grandmother was friends with him. Yeah. No, she's not from Memphis, and neither am I. I just made all that up. So, but, you know, it's a cool story anyway. But see how you do that? You got to walk up and be kind of smooth. And tell them a little bit about yourself. Don't be afraid to, you know, like, hi, I'm out of work, I'm just a student, and I'm kind of looking for part-time work, or I'm going to starve in the next semester. Just saw you sitting there and found you quite interesting. You're really cute. Probably isn't going to work either. You have to be honest, but not completely honest. And that goes back to the very beginning, and here's how we do it. You know, you walk up and say, hey, how's it going? I just saw you across the room, and I thought you look like somebody that actually knows this place well. I'm not real familiar. I'm new on campus. I thought maybe was hoping to meet someone that that could kind of plug me into the social network and show me around town. Would you care to maybe go get a drink sometime? We could just talk. And she might actually take you up on that. Like, yeah, like, hey, we could have lunch sometime. We can hang out. And that's what you want. You want to say, yeah, this is definitely not, you know, a date or anything. Just lunch sounds really cool. You don't say any of that. See, you think that. You calm your male brain down, but you don't actually say any of that. You go, oh, cool, yeah. Lunch would be terrific because I'm freaking starving. You know, Dutch, and when you say Dutch, that's each person pays their own way, you know, which is cool. And she's like, yeah, we're students. We have the food voucher. Yeah, he's like, I know, I was just, you know, you looked so mature, I wasn't sure if you were a student. Thought you might be faculty. Yeah, that's why you're sitting amongst the students, yeah, right. So you've got to be smooth, but not, you know, just a dumbass. And that's the next part we want to talk about. Don't be a dumbass. I know this term is overused these days, especially since That 70s Show and Red Foreman popularized it. But sadly, in American society especially, not necessarily worldwide, but in American society, being a dumbass is kind of a rite of passage for most young American males. If you hear somebody snoring, that's my dog baby in the background. She's a lovely little girl, weighs about 70 pounds, has huge canines. I love her to death, and she will go on a date with me anytime I want, as long as I give her dog treats. And she's snoring right now, so there's that too. And that's the other thing you have to contend with. When you are in college and you're trying to pick up chicks, your roommate can really cramp your style. If you have a loud, obnoxious, snoring roommate, don't plan on getting any action with the ladies. It ain't gonna happen. Now, he may actually steal her from you, because what he'll do is he'll sleep through the night and snore constantly. So you can't sleep. You're tired when you bring your girlfriend over to check out your pad, your apartment, your room, your dorm. Instead of scoring with the lady, your roommate is going to slide in while you're falling asleep watching Netflix, and he's going to steal her from you. And then they will, in turn, be snoring together while you sit in the corner and watch. And that's not a good look. Mm-mm. And it's not going to go over well with her friends, because she can't wait to tell them how your roommate is so awesome. So these are things to remember. I know this is not really applicable for the ladies in the audience. I know this might be a little off-putting, that I am trying to help the young males of this new generation with my volumes of knowledge about how to pick up chicks, especially hot chicks. But I assure you, ladies, I'm kind of giving you also the other side of the coin. You can tell when you're with a loser more aptly by the way they fumble, pick their nose, or smell their armpits as they walk up to you. And these are the signs that young ladies need to look for. And if a guy tries to go in for a kiss without permission, and he smells like tuna fish or egg salad, it's time to call it quits right then and there. I know this from several young ladies that I have had the opportunity to be friends with over the years, that's usually a good sign that you need to run like hell. Those are the exact words, run like hell. And if you happen to look out the window of your dormitory or apartment or the room you're renting in the house, and you see a young man hiding in the bushes going hooty hoo 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 hoo, or doing something else that's unspeakable in the bushes, we do not call our other roommates to come to the window and laugh at him. No, what we do is we pick up our phone, the iPhone that your father pays for, you know, the one that you had to have that's like $1,200, the iPhone or whatever the thing is called, droid. And what you do then is you call the police. The number is 911. If you look out your window and the guy that you just told that you're not going to give a DNA swab to at lunchtime at the school cafeteria is standing in the bushes doing something unspeakable, call the police. We do not call our roommates over to stand and gawk and laugh, because one of your said roommates might get what is called turned on by a kinky mofo. And if one of your roommates thinks a kinky mofo is kind of hot, he's so cute, and he looks like he needs a friend, the next thing you know, instead of the police carting this reject from Creature Feature off to a rubber room, you will have the said stalker in your dorm room staring at you while your roommate is telling him how she's going to fix him. This is a fault in the female anatomy. It's not the worst thing about females. There is a mode or two above this that's much deadlier, the Karen mode and the mother-in-law mode. But we will discuss those in another video or another podcast. Right now, what you young ladies need to focus on is don't go telling everybody you can't stand some guy because he's this or that or the other thing, or show them what he's doing in the bushes, because one of those girls is going to have pity on him because he's sad and he grew up and he didn't get enough love and attention from his mommy, and they're going to fix him. And then you have him staring at you at 3 a.m. while you're trying to sleep, waiting to go, hoping that your pepper spray or your taser battery is completely charged. That reminds me, young ladies, always have a switchblade knife in your pocket, pepper spray on your keychain, a loud emergency pool whistle. Sometimes you can also have a what is called a stun gun with a strobe light flashing light on it and an audible alarm. And learn to use it. Keep them charged up, and don't be afraid to practice. There are plenty of young men who would be more than willing to practice with you with your stun gun by getting in your proximity. The best way to do it is wear something attractive, or what we would say risque, and just walk in front of men. Sooner or later, one of them will let you know that they're willing to be an active participant in practicing the use of your stun gun by saying something like, "Oh yeah, baby, come over here and sit on my face." This is your cue to walk over to the young man and take your fully charged stun gun and stick it in his testicles area. The testicles area is below his belt buckle, and it's between his thighs. You stick it in there, you push the button, and you let him know you appreciate that he allowed you to practice on him and be your stun gun partner. And after you do this a few times, the word will get out on campus that you really hate testicles, and no other men will ever bother you again. You may get attractive offers from other young ladies that get the wrong message, but that's another story for another video altogether. Not that I have a problem with it. Okay, I hope all of this has helped both sexes with dating. I know it's very hard today to date and find, you know, a partner, a loving, caring individual that, you know, is compatible with you. Chemistry is so important. And I really do feel that we don't put enough emphasis in our society on chemistry. Now, when I say chemistry, I mean chemistry. There are people that are attracted to each other because of looks. Okay, she looks beautiful, or he looks handsome. Oh, he's so built. You know, he's strong. You know, he works out. He's really tall. He's handsome. You know, girls and guys are attracted to hair color, body shape, their color of their eyes, the color of their skin, their wallet, how big it is. And all of these things, yes, are very important on helping you capture a lady or a man in life. But the size of somebody's buttocks or the shape of their buttocks isn't always the first thing you should worry about. What you need to know... Boy, she's really snoring. Can you hear her snoring? Now she stops. Oh, there she is. Figures. Anyway, the most important thing is when you start to get intimate, when you start to touch and hold and caress each other, is there actual chemistry? Now, the first time you're intimate, and I'm just talking about maybe some canoodling, some making out, some touchy-feely stuff, you know, just kissy-kissy, you know, maybe making out a little bit. Usually, the first time you do, if there's instant attraction, you know, when you kiss somebody, you feel drawn to them, you feel connected to them, you feel comfortable with them, it feels right. That's good. Now, that feeling should last the next time and the next time and the next time. If you find that that diminishes and you don't feel like charged up, you don't feel like, I'm not into this, or I really don't care if we make out, or I'm not really feeling it today, you may have a problem with chemistry with your partner. And if that's the case, it may not be a love connection. Sometimes we lust. Sometimes we convince ourselves, this is the partner I want. She or he looks and acts and hits all the buttons. But then when you're actually with the person, you think, oh, they're a dud, or I don't like the taste of tuna fish, and boy, that egg salad, you know, do I really need to know what you had for lunch today? What you're looking at there is not that the other person is gross or grody or just doesn't know how to brush their teeth. What you're looking at actually is compatibility issues. Sometimes a person could be perfect. They come from a nice family. Their dad's loaded. They're going to take over the business. They got it all going on. He's strong, tall, and handsome. But he's just lousy. He just lays there. He's like a lump. He sits in front of the TV and eats Cheetos. Basically, you're looking at what's called a dud. Doesn't mean they're not a good catch. Somebody else might find that person extremely compatible, and they might really get turned on by their Netflix watching habits, and they might really like Cheetos, and this could be part of it too. All right, but what we need to think about is the fact that you're not compatible with them, and a lot of people are afraid to break up or, you know, move on in dating from someone because they think that they have to have compatibility. They think they have to stick it out, that things will get better. And what I'm trying to say is, don't be afraid, don't be upset if you're dating and you break up because one or the other isn't feeling it. That doesn't mean you're a failure. It doesn't mean you suck at romance, and it doesn't mean you're not a viable partner. What it means is that you are not really compatible with that person, and you can't hold it against yourself. Quit focusing on them. They're not attracted to you. You don't think that you're any good for anybody. That's not true. You're just not compatible with them. it just wasn't a match. And that sometimes is the best thing that can happen to you. Sometimes realizing you're not in love with someone, you're not attracted to them, is the absolute best thing that can happen to you. When a girl breaks up with you and it breaks your heart, and I get these messages all the time from young men, and I get some from young women, that, yes, I do. I lost my partner, we were together for 3-4 years, and blah, blah, blah. They went and they quit, they're done, they don't want nothing to do with me, they won't even talk to me. You know, it may not be them, it may not even be you. It could be that it just wasn't meant to be. You're just not compatible. And you can't beat yourself up. And blaming and projecting onto the other person is the absolute worst thing you can do. Take a little bit of, you know, take a little bit of credit that you're 50% of the relationship. And you know what? If it was meant to be and it was meant to work out, it would have. The fact that it didn't, hey, means it wasn't probably meant to be. And you know what's funny about that? Sometimes people date and they don't have compatibility. But then they meet later in life or they get back together and this bond is stronger than ever. And the reason for that is because the person finally realized that they were making mistakes or they weren't looking at things the right way. And when they get back together, they've grown. They've emotionally grown. And that's a chance for you to finally find that compatibility that you wanted and to have a life together that you really, really, the life you were hoping to have. So don't give up on each other, is what I'm getting at. It's very easy for people to think that they can't ever go on, that they're never going to find a partner that cares about them. Believe me, you will find somebody. There's somebody out there for everybody. And I don't want you to ever sell yourself short. Okay? Now, I think we've covered dating. I think we've answered a lot of pertinent questions. And let's review real quick before we go. 1 or 2% Fonzie. Yes. Don't take your girlfriend back to your room if your roommate is snoring like mine is right now. Don't be a dumbass, right? And ladies, call the police. Whenever there's a problem, don't waste time. Call the police. And if you follow these good instructions, I think you'll have no problem finding a compatible partner out there and a life partner that you could marry, divorce, and pay support to for the rest of your life. There's somebody out there for everyone. Okay? And remember the name of the game. It's all about the fact that we have to procreate or we're just literally going to die off, and we don't want that. Okay? So, let's leave it at that. And if you have any success in the romance genre, please leave a comment after the podcast and let us know how you found your success. Maybe your advice can help others too. All right. Till I see all of you again, please have a most blessed day and a wonderful week. It's May. It's beautiful. Get out there and sow your oats. Have a wonderful spring. Take care. Bye.
Thank you for joining us for ASMR Tirar de Huevo. Please take a moment to share this podcast with someone who might enjoy it, and to rate or review it on your podcast player of choice. Those small things only take a few minutes, and they really do help our podcast grow. If you are interested in additional ASMR content, you may view our library of videos at youtube.com/tirardejuego. We have also started uploading earlier podcast episodes to YouTube. Another one goes up every Thursday night at youtube.com/ASMRTirardejuego. Links to connect with us on social media and to take a look at our merchandise can be found in the show notes. The theme song Atlantis is by Jason Shaw of Audionautix.com and is used by permission. Correspondence, including questions or requests, may be sent to tirardejuego@gmail.com. On behalf of Dr. Andrew Michaels and his entire staff, thank you.